This is the Super Sports Schools Podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers. 1, 2, 3,
go! Hello and welcome to another episode of the Super Sports Schools Podcast, brought to you by Spur. I'm Alex White. Good evening and welcome to our brand new time slot here on Super Sports Schools. The podcast is now every Sunday at 6 p.m. I'm really excited about this slot because it means we come to you at the end of a busy school sport week on Channel 216. And you know, every week is packed with action here on the channel. If we just look at this week, we have Friday Night Lights, which I'm excited for. Westville Boys and Northwood are going to battle it out. And then on Saturday, yes, I'm a bit biased. And if you watched last year, you would have heard me in commentary reciting a little bit of the poem saying, if you can meet with triumph and disaster, then you'll be a man, my son. It's Bish Bosh. That's taking place on Saturday on the Piley Reese down in the southern suburbs. But talking about rugby, we've had actually quite a bit of action over the past couple of weeks, and probably our biggest festival in terms of number of matches and people during the year is ABSA Vilderklaarve, and it took place a couple of weeks ago in Kimberley. I was there and we chatted to some teams that have come all the way from England and from New Zealand to take part in the tournament, to hear what they had to say about South African school rugby and also what it's like playing in hot, dry Kimberley. Very different to England and New Zealand. First up, I chat with Kirkham from the United Kingdom.
Thanks so much for joining us. We're in the headmaster's office at Diamantfeld, at the Vilderklaarve, ABSA Vilderklaarve Festival in the Northern Cape. It's great to have you with us, one of the international teams playing and taking part in the tournament. You've done all your matches. I think just to start off, you've obviously been visiting South Africa. You've come a long way to come and play at this tournament. What's that journey been like for you and the team?
For me and the team, yeah, it's been very long. Like, we've had some long plane journeys, long car journeys. Like, we really tried to keep our legs off when we are playing, like we're not training. But it's like been really enjoyable. Obviously, lovely weather. We're not really used to this here in England. So yeah, we've really enjoyed it. Like, especially the country, like lovely people, and we've had some really good food. So we've been really enjoying ourselves.
You've joined us in a hot, dry winter in Kimberley, but and for you, coach?
Yeah, we had a good plan put together by the tour company. So we actually flew from Heathrow direct to Joburg, which cut the time down to 11 hours. And then it was just a matter of getting on a bus and getting over here, which was actually a really good journey. So it was actually, we had a really good time.
No, that's awesome. And how have the matches gone? Because we'll talk about the one that you've just come off literally a few minutes ago now. But you played your first game on Thursday against Nico Milan. And that was, I think, your first taste playing against the South African school in South Africa and in Kimberley, where it's nice and hot and dry. So how did that go?
Yeah, so it was obviously really interesting to have a new opponent kind of thing. Like, obviously, England and South Africa, they don't really play the same style of rugby. So it's really good to test ourselves in a different style of rugby. Obviously, we're coming over with like massive respect for the teams we were playing. Obviously, we knew they were really good outfits, and we definitely brought our A game. Like, we brought a performance squad instead of like a touring squad. Like, I tried to get our best players over, and it was our last two games. So for myself, I won't play for Kirkham again. So okay. Like, they were really important games for me and the team. Like, we really wanted to obviously win, but obviously see how them last few moments on the pitch together.
Oh, that's very cool that it was your last game as well.
Yeah, and having looked at both the teams the last couple of weeks, because of Super Schools, we were able to have a look. We had an idea of how both teams played the game. And we basically planned to try and stop the teams playing how they want to play and also play in a way that we know they would find difficult to defend, because we've seen quite a lot of the ways the South African schools attack, and we thought we could throw something different at them.
I think so. And you're coming to a country where you said there's maybe a different style of rugby. What are the differences that you've actually noticed, either in the preparation or actually playing against?
Yeah, from what I've seen, the set pieces are immaculate. The lineups are very good. The scrums are strong, and they always have a lot of big ball carrying back row players. So the South African teams, big centres, so they seem to get on the front foot quite quickly, and then it's almost like a bit of a momentum build up. In England, you get a variety of attacks, really, depending on what kind of the team's made of. But a lot of the schools we play tend to shift the ball to the edges quite a lot. And there's probably a little bit less kicking and territory in our sort of fixture circuit. So it's almost a bit, the South African schoolboys at the top end kind of play a style of rugby which is similar to our kind of National League men. It's a bit more like adults rugby rather than schoolboy. That's what we've seen.
And you've been actually hitting the rucks in the scrum. What's it been like?
Yeah, that's a good fun. Personally, a bat rower, so I do love the intense stuff as a team in Kirk, and we are known for like our physicality side. Obviously, we're not coming over here. We haven't really been in touch with teams that have watched us as much, but definitely the boys at Kirk can really enjoy that. Like, that's probably our favourite part of the game, but no, it's definitely a much bigger test than we used to. Like some of them boys, as you saw out today on the field, some really big boys, they run at us. So, yeah, we have to get into them.
And I want to talk now about that Otaniqua game, because there are a couple interesting things there. You go down by quite a few points sort of midway in the match. You're playing far away from home against everyone in the crowd, most likely against you. A couple people touring with you might be with you, but the crowd's against you. You go a few points down, and then you're able to come all the way back. And in the final minutes, a penalty one kicked over to win. What's the message to the team when you are down and all the odds kind of seem against you?
It's really... For me as captain, it's really easy, to be honest, if I'm honest with you. Like the boys, whatever I say, they'll buy straight into it. Like I've known that some of them boys I've known for 10 plus years. Like some of them have been through the junior school at Kirkham, and they've worked all the way through the school, and now they're playing first 15. So it's like the bond that we have in the brotherhood, like I said it in the team talk beforehand, like I feel like brotherhood gets thrown around a lot in teams. Like a lot of teams will say, but it's quite an empty comment. Like I feel like at Kirkham, like you'll see us straight down to year seven, straight into the junior school. Like we breed off that, we love that. And obviously it comes from Mr. Ronan as well, teaching that into us. I feel that's it. When it comes to us, we do get down, like as you said, a fair few points down in the game. It just takes that little bit of, we're still in it, we're still a bit of fire, we can bring it back. And as you saw there, we...
You did, and it was very impressive. Coach, how were you feeling on the side as you watched this all unfold?
Yeah, so our attacking chances were sort of spoiled. We couldn't get our line out functioning. So we ended up defending for a lot of the first half. And with a team like Otaniqua, the size and the power, when they get in your 22, you need a bit of luck if they're going to knock it on or make an error, but they're going to score. And they did. Every time we only came away with one score in our visit. So the message at half time was, you've seen everything Otaniqua have. They don't have anything else. And you've defended it for most of the half. And I said, I've got nothing else to say. Is that you just need to peel each other up off the floor, get back in the defensive line and tackle. You've not got the ball. But when you've got the ball, you've got to take your game to them and they will not be able to live with it. And you will score tries. And that is the message. And that was it. And I just walked away. And I said, it's up to you now, Seb. And I think it was a simple message and they just did it.
Yeah, it worked. So that's for sure. When you come and play teams in South Africa, or I guess for any tour anywhere in the world, there's a purpose beyond just going and playing against teams. You get to experience new opposition, new places, etc. What are the benefits to the group, those of you who, like you, have played now your last games, and to those that are going to be staying on?
You can go, Seven.
Sorry, yeah, so especially like being in South Africa, obviously it's great to get away from the rugby kind of thing, obviously. We know why we're here. We're here to play the games. We're here to win. But there's obviously lovely sights to see. Like, and getting away from that, like we've been to lodges on safaris and stuff, like looking at the local wildlife, that's really helped us like ease ourselves in and like chill for a bit before we actually get going into the games. And also, just with the year blows, like we've got the next year's first 15 captain is with us this year, and then a few other lower six lads who will then go on next year and play. So it's really good for them to come with us, see how we play, see what it takes, and then they can bring it for next year.
Yeah, and it's more the development of the whole person as well. I mean, being away from home, interacting with, you're representing the school, so you're being well-mannered and showing that you're proud of your school, and it all just builds in, and we're really proud of the boys, where they've handled themselves the last couple of days. And yeah, so those young lads who are maybe playing next year, that they can then take this, what they've learned, and filter it back into the school.
Any teams here that you'd heard of before coming that you would have liked to play?
I don't know if I'd like to play.
You wouldn't, yeah, okay, also true.
We'd actually heard of Otaniqua, okay. Because in 1997, Kirkham toured South Africa and played Otaniqua.
Oh, wow.
And lost. So we were aware of Otaniqua and we thought it'd be cool. It was ironic that we got...
So it wasn't planned?
No.
Actually ended up playing a team that you've played before?
Otaniqua. All right, yeah, well... We lost. Maybe we can try and beat them this time.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a motivator as well. I've toured South Africa a few times. We've played Sachs in the past. We've played Glenwood High. We played Durban High School.
Well, really? So you've toured all over?
Yeah, we played some good schools. And so when we got up to Niqua, I was like, well, that's one of the big sort of top 15 teams. That's going to be a tough challenge. And with the boys have enjoyed watching Gray and Paul.
Afis.
And it's just a really good experience to watch and see how respected the game of rugby is in South Africa. It's like a religion. And it's given the guys an opportunity to take that stage, which not a lot of English teams will get to do. So we're truly grateful for the opportunity.
And in England, I mean, this is probably Abza Vildeklava, is one of the biggest school sports festivals, tournaments in the world. And it's obviously not just for rugby, but it has loads of teams taking part in the rugby. I mean, there are 4,500 athletes and coaches, officials, bringing it all together. In England, for school rugby, what's the sort of involvement, the level of how many different teams are there competitive at the highest level, just to compare it to South Africa? Because obviously, South Africa and England both produce fantastic teams at the highest level. So it's interesting to see what the differences are at the school level.
Well, we have a national cup, which is open to anybody to enter. People only enter if they think they can compete at that level. There's a few different tiers. So you probably get 50 schools entering that who want to have a crack at that tournament. Then we have a couple of sort of festival weekends where, rather than this, where you've just got two fixtures, I think it's a really good format that you just have these two fixtures and you mark up similar standards of players and it showcases the rugby. In England, they're more like tournament-based, shorter versions of the game. So the St. Joseph's Festival is a big one where there are 20 schools or 16? It's either 16 or 20 schools. So you'd normally get the top 16 or 20 schools thereabouts in that tournament. And then there's another tournament at the back end of the season called the Sedba National Tens. Again, I think it's 16 of the top teams in a 10-a-side format of the game. So there's not really anything like this in the UK, but I think there's definitely a market for it.
Then for me, it's a very similar point, but it's probably more around the tournament, and it's like, it's then just about the people, like how lovely everyone is. Like, they'll come up to you and say hello, and not everyone's like, oh, look, there's the English. Like, it's really good to see like people coming interacting with us, like whether we are in like the supermarket or around here. It's like, it's really good to chat to people of like different cultures and from different backgrounds. It's really like interesting for us instead of like the same similar faces in England.
Yeah, that's very cool, and I'm glad that you guys have enjoyed it. Highlights from the campaign, from the two matches specifically. I mean, I think the kick at the end of your most recent game might be, but if you had to choose one other than that?
Mine would be, we've got a lad on the trip who hasn't played for the first team because he's been struggling with injuries for 2 years, and he's worked and worked and worked and worked, and he actually made his first 15 debut against Nico Milan, and that is going to be the only game he plays for first 15. So for me, that's been a big moment for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I'm exactly the same. Like, his name, for a bit of context, his name's Isaac Milichip, and if you, like, people who are at home and stuff, like, they know exactly who he is. Like, he's at every, whether he's training or not, he's at every training session, every game, whether he's got the bottle, he's got the camera, he's there every single time looking after us. And honestly, sometimes you think, what could we do without him? And now he has been able to, like, he did play open side, and it was a real honour for me to pass a shirt on to him for a game. Like, and there's no one else I'd be more proud to give the shirt to than him.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, guys, thanks so much for sharing that and talking a bit about the differences and what's also similar between the two countries and kind of rugby cultures at school and beyond. We're going to end off by doing the Supersport Schools podcast quiz. Basically, you have 60 seconds to answer as many questions correctly as you can. On behalf of Kirkham, are you guys ready to do the quiz? All right. Your time starts now. Who won the 2024 US Masters? You're going to pass?
Pass.
Yeah. Which nation played in their first Rugby World Cup last year?
Portugal.
It was Chile. Name one of the hosts of the upcoming Men's T20 World Cup.
Pass.
USA or West Indies. Which South African school has produced the most Springboks, Grey College or Paul Roos?
Grey College.
It's Paul Roos. Oh. Who captained the 2003 Rugby World Cup winning squad?
Martin Johnson.
Correct. What is it commonly referred to when a tennis match is tied at 40 all?
Deuce.
Correct. The Absa Vildeklava tournament is being hosted in which South African town?
Kimberley.
Correct. How many umpires are there on the field in a typical cricket match?
Two.
Correct. In rugby, what number does a fullback usually play under? correct. Which city will host the 2024 Summer Olympic Games?
New Mexico. I don't know.
It's Paris.
Oh, yeah.
A lot closer than New Mexico.
I knew that as well.
So five, which I think just gets you onto the leaderboard, because our leaderboard is made up of people with 5, 6, 7, and 8. So there we go.
That's embarrassing. New Mexico.
Well, Kirkham have set the bar. Let's see how the Kiwi boys can do. I'll chat to them and get them to do the quiz after the break.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sport Schools Podcast.
Spurs got the breakfast you're looking for. Cheese griller breakfast? Got it. Avon toast? Got that too. Carb conscious option? You bet. We have 15 delicious breakfasts for you to choose from till 11 every morning. Like our Unreal breakfast with 2 rashers of crispy back bacon, 2 large eggs, golden chips, grilled tomato, toast, and jam for just $56.90. T's and C's apply. Get up now. Spur, people with a taste for life.
Bringing you the sport you care about the most, this is the Super Sport Schools Podcast.
Welcome back to the Super Sport Schools Podcast, brought to you by Spur, now every Sunday at 6. Before the break, I chatted to Kirkham from the United Kingdom, a coach and a captain, about what it's like to play in South Africa. We were at Kimberley for the Absa Vilderklaver 2024, and I also spoke to St. John's from New Zealand to see what they had to say.
Two years ago in Ellis Park in Joburg, All Blacks beat Springboks then, and it was for rugby championship. Springboks had beaten All Blacks in Mbombela, Nelspruit, which is also at another part of the country. But that was my first time seeing it live, and it is just so special, so amazing, and that you're coming here, sharing it with people who will also love that it's being done and that they can see it real. A lot of people who are in Kimberley will never go to a Springbok All Black match, but they get to see a haka nevertheless. And I think that's something, when we spoke to the English guys a bit earlier, they were saying that over here for them it's like rugby's a religion, and I think another place that very easily could have that applied to it is New Zealand. So when you go home back to New Zealand, what is it that you're hoping or that you have taken from this whole experience?
Probably just culture. So over here, I've noticed that culture is a really big thing. Like us, how we do the haka. I see schools over here, they do their school chants or lots of chants, and it's just, you can see how connected they are as a team, as a, like a brotherhood sort of. So yeah, just taking back our team culture and trying to just implement that into our style of play, or just our school in general. Just, it's one of the big things that I've liked here so far.
I think for me, Kiwis love their rugby, but South Africans, they love their rugby. We went and watched Stormers, just the atmosphere in there, you know, and that's at a professional level to schoolboy level, just the passion with everyone. They're just, they really love the game and everything. They put all their energy and love into that game. And so I think that's something that we could definitely take back, particularly for our school. Not so much amongst just our players, but the supporters as well, trying to rally them around, saying like, because they are good, awesome supporters, but yeah, South African supporters are on a different level.
I think, I mean, school rugby, if you're at a big school where rugby is big, the level of support, the war cries, the displays that they put on can be insane. So obviously, two nations that produce fantastic rugby players means we're getting something right at school level. Are there any other differences you see between South African school rugby and New Zealand school rugby?
The size. The size is massive. Look at some of your first 15 players, and some of them are the size of our club players and that. So, but I think, like Leighton said, just the way they are connected right from the time they arrive on the ground, just right through to the end, and how hard they fight and all that sort of stuff. But then after, we're mates again. Yeah. So that's really special too. real special amongst watching Powell and Farnsby, and then obviously our game next, that how connected the boys get together after. We've been told by the other schools that for some of those boys that we have played against, that will be their first and last time they will ever face a haka. So yes, that's special too.
Exactly. I mentioned earlier, it's the goal of many players to face the haka one day for the Springboks, but obviously only 15 people and 8 reserves can take to the field for any match for the Springboks. I think we've only just had about 1,000 Springboks ever, if we've even made it to 1,000. So most of these guys will never play for the Springboks. So this is the first and only time they will face the haka, which will, for them, because of the deep connections between South Africa and New Zealand rugby, it will mean so much. And it will just make them want to go out there even harder and play even better. And I think what this tournament does so well is pairing up schools to let the rugby be the main focus. And I mean, obviously, if you guys came here and beat a team by 100 points, or if you came here and were beaten by 100 points, it wouldn't be as beneficial as playing competitive rugby that lets you both shine. Not that I think a 100-point swing either way would ever happen, but if there's anybody who could do it, it's New Zealand. So there is that. Any highlights from the tour? Any highlights from matches that you've had on tour? Anything, like I said earlier, that you can share on TV?
I think for me, Sunset City and doing the safari, that was awesome to see native animals in their natural habitat. And then we went to Puna Puna and saw the animals in there, just the regard of the caretakers there, that how they revere the animals there and trying to make sure that they're looked after. So that was a massive highlight for me.
For me, one of my highlights was getting to play Power Boys. So over in New Zealand, Power Boys has a high recognition as a really good schoolboy rugby program.
Yeah.
And just getting to play there and the atmosphere around the school and the backdrop as well, heaps of mountains in the back and everything.
It's spectacular, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Just getting to play there and just getting to embrace it was really cool.
Yeah, and then if a South African team ever was to tour New Zealand, which does happen every now and then, what do you think they'll find different, interesting?
The temperature. Because, like, for us, playing in 15 degrees to 18 degrees is nothing. So, and I also think when they're playing teams that have been set, just the speed of the game. So we try and play as fast as we can, looking for space all the time. So this, looking for opportunities where they can. And you'll find in first 15 rugby, most teams don't look to kick as much as what I've seen here. Yeah. So we're always looking to alter things around with ground position. But I think that's been a good learning curve for us, Leighton, like using the kicking as a weapon to take back home in that.
Mm. Awesome. Guys, thanks so much for chatting. Just to end off the show, what we always do is a little quiz. We're going to let you play as a team. So basically, you get 60 seconds to answer as many questions correctly as you can. If you don't know the answer, just say pass.
Okay.
And we'll go to the next question. Do you want me to tell you what the Kirkham guys got? Or
maybe tell us after?
Afterwards. Yep.
Okay.
It's always
well later.
And
is this
home?
A general knowledge question?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Name all 12 languages.
Oh, Jesus.
Used to be 11, but now they added sign language, so now it's 12.
Oh, that's right. 12 official languages.
Have you been taught any words?
Oh, I don't know. The boys might have. I haven't.
It's probably not good ones. Lekker. No, that's good. Oh, it means like, this lekker, that's good. Oh, nice. Okay. Great, yeah. Representing St. John's, are you guys ready to play the quiz?
Yes, we are.
Yes. All right. Your time starts now. In rugby, how many points is a penalty try worth?
3.
It's 7.
Penalty try, 7. Sorry.
I'll give it to you. What does LBW stand for in cricket?
Leg before wicket.
Correct. Does curling take place in the Winter or Summer Olympics?
Winter.
Correct. In how many different ways can you score points in rugby?
Try. Conversion, penalty. Penalty try.
How many are you saying?
5.
Correct. It's 5. True or false? The most recent ODI World Cup was the first to feature a player dismissed for time wasting.
True.
That's correct. What is the name of the school that William Webb Ellis attended?
Rugby school.
Correct. True or false, 15s rugby used to be played at the Olympics?
True.
Correct. Which driver currently leads the F1 championship?
Pass.
It's Max Verstappen. Which city hosted the most recent Netball World Cup?
Pass.
It was Cape Town. Which man received the first red card in a Rugby World Cup final?
Pass.
Sam Kane.
Oh, I was too.
Sorry about that.
That's why I passed.
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember. So seven, which is second highest score. So you go onto our leaderboard, and the Kirkham boys got five.
Oh,
so there. Beat them by two.
Yeah.
Well done.
I definitely wasn't surprised that the English players struggled a bit with the weather in Kimberley. It was hot and dry during ABSA Vildeklava 2024. Both teams definitely commented on the kicking and physical game of the South Africans, and I don't think that surprises anyone. But transcending all of that, the teamwork, the camaraderie and the friendships that both teams have made with South Africans, I think that's what rugby is all about. So thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Super Sport Schools podcast brought to you by Spur. We have a new time slot, 6 p.m. every Sunday, coming to you after a week of fantastic school sport. But exciting news, there are two other shows that also air at 6 p.m., one on Monday and one on Tuesday. On Monday's Tanone's fantastic team bring you football on 216, diving into the analysis, the results, and everything to do with football right here on Super Sport Schools. And then on Tuesday, Skurra and his team bring you Gameplay, which is a brand new show talking about esports, gaming, and everything to do with that. It's blowing up in South Africa, so Gameplay dives into that. So, if you want to catch all the entertainment, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at 6 p.m., we have great entertainment that goes beyond the scores on match day. I'll catch you next week. So for now, bye-bye.
This has been the Super Sports Schools Podcast, bringing you stories of our future stars, powered by Spur Steak Ranchers.